Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week we are chatting about websites. I know that there are many people at home at the moment, and perhaps you have a bit of time to spend on some of those business admin tasks that often get put off, including your website. So in this episode, I'm chatting about some of the things that I like to do to make sure that my website is in good health and to keep it updated and fresh. This week's podcast episode is brought to you by my online class, Minimal Magic. You can save 20% using the coupon MARCH20IN20 if you head on over to my website, laurahornart.com/classes. In this class, you will create a mixed media series of paintings using a limited palette and everyday items like old book pages, paper towel, and things like that you can find around the home. So remember that coupon code is MAR20IN20. So let me spell that out, MAR20IN20. And it expires on the 19th of April, 2020.
Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I'm very good. I'm just coming off the back of a whole weekend of painting, which was very blissful.
You got some good work done, didn't you?
I did. It was nice to be able to come down to the studio and have that time that's uninterrupted. It's become one of my favourite things to do now, sneak away and do some art here while you're at home with the kids.
Yeah. Well, it was the weekend as well, but it was a bit weird on the weekend because the kids had nowhere to go.
Yeah, I did feel a bit sorry for you because you were stuck at home with the kids, a bit restless. You went for a walk and things like that, but with everything that's going on, the kids can't actually catch up with their friends the way that they would or play sport, and it's all a bit weird. So yeah, I spent the weekend painting, and it was much needed because I spent all of last week tinkering away on my website, which I like to do from time to time, as people who listen to the podcast will know. I thought we could have a chat about it because, firstly, I've been doing work on my website, but also I had a question come through about what website platform I use and why, and I thought we could kind of kill two birds with one stone. I can answer that question and then talk about some of the things that I like to do from time to time to update my website and keep it healthy. This is kind of like a health check for your website. Before we get into the episode, I'd love to share our review of the week. This one comes from Jessica Beam. I felt called this year to begin focusing on art as the new year began. I had been following your art and started listening to your podcast. I cannot tell you how immensely encouraged I have been to hear your kind, gentle words. One that has especially stuck with me is to be kind to yourself on the journey. It has been a continual reminder to not be discouraged with where I am at, because we all begin somewhere. So thank you, thank you, thank you for the kind and thoughtful ways you hold the hands of artists who are not as far along in their journey and propel us forward. Isn't that a beautiful review and a wonderful reminder that we're all in different stages of this journey? And I love thinking about the fact that even those people that you admire who maybe have a lot of followers or they have exhibitions in places that you dream about, they all had to start. They all had one follower on Instagram at one point. They all sold that first painting. It's important to remind ourselves that you've just got to begin and take those little steps. So thank you very much, Jessica, for that one.
Lovely.
So the question that I had was, what do you like about your platform for your webpage? What don't you like about it? Would you do anything different? And what led you to choosing that platform? So the platform that I use is Squarespace, and I have never used anything else. So I think I've had a website for, I don't know how long actually, probably like 5 years or something like that. I was immediately drawn to the clean, kind of minimal design that Squarespace uses for their templates. So I'd often see someone else's website and I'd notice that it was Squarespace and I'm like, that looks pretty nice. So that was the reason why I joined Squarespace. It's also a very user-friendly platform. You don't need to know any coding. So I was a little bit scared of WordPress because I'd heard that that's a little bit more involved. Squarespace is very much a drag and drop. It's template-based, which is fantastic when you don't have a lot of knowledge around websites and the back end of a website. So as a brand new website owner, this was a big draw card for me that it was easy to use. On the downside for Squarespace, it's a little bit harder to customize sometimes. You kind of have to work within the template structures that they have in place. I know that there's a new update to Squarespace, which I'm not on at the moment, which has changed this a little bit. And they've done away with templates, and now there are some more customization options. But I'm still using the old version because I know how to use that one. And I'm not sure if I'm ready yet to make that leap into the latest version of Squarespace. What else? Would I do anything differently? No, I wouldn't change. I'm very happy with Squarespace. Of all the programs that I use, and I use a lot of different bits of software and bits and pieces, Squarespace is probably one of the nicest laid out things that I ever put my hands on and, you know, work with. It's just easy, and you can just Google and find your answers to pretty much anything, because when you're using a platform as big as Squarespace and as popular as Squarespace, you are going to find some pretty damn good tutorials and quick fixes and things. So sometimes I get an idea about how I want to present something on the website and I just go, how do you do this? And I get a pretty good answer. So a lot of the stuff that I've done on my website has been done by me in that way, just figuring it out as I go. So I think anyone could get started with Squarespace and build a nice website.
Now, I just want to step in here real quickly. When you said you did all of this stuff on your web page yourself, which is very true. There's lots of stuff out there saying build an epic drag and drop website in 24 hours or in a day.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like you to tell everyone how much time you spent on this website.
Yeah, well, this is me. And last week I was telling people how long I spend writing a podcast description. So it takes me quite a long time. And I can go in deep and spend many hours putting together pages on my website.
And you do something on your website once a week?
Oh, I'm always updating it because I put the show notes up for each podcast episode. And I like to just have a look and make sure that everything is current and move things around and test things out, which is what I'm going to run through now, is some things that you can look at. Because I think with what's happening with the coronavirus, a lot of people are at home. They may not have some of the art activities that they might normally do. So you might not be running workshops and exhibitions, and you may, maybe, I don't know, have a bit of time to do some organizational work on the business side of things. And I think website is a brilliant place to start, because I've said it many times, but I feel like a website is absolutely essential and needs to be the backbone of your business and something that you are looking at every week and updating and keeping fresh, always just going back to the website, bringing people over to the website. Once you adopt that kind of mindset, you're going to have a much more robust and sustainable business. So there you go. I had to get that out. I had to say my little 2 cents worth about websites. So anyway, we're going to go over to the website. Now, this is assuming that you have a website, but if you don't, then maybe you want to think about one and you could go and check out Squarespace and get started on that journey. And these are some things that you could keep in mind.
What other platforms are there out there?
So there are, like, Wix is one. Shopify has a version, sort of a website-y thing that you can use. I'm trying to think what else. WordPress. I think Squarespace is pretty reasonable as far as price.
Because I remember back in the day, you couldn't do this yourself. You had to go to a web designer and they were like very expensive. Mm. Now you can do it yourself.
Yeah, you can do it yourself. And I will say, like, I've done most of my website myself, but I do get help now with my website. So I don't do it all myself anymore. I just wanted to mention a couple of things that maybe I would think about, maybe some of the downsides. Squarespace, I don't feel, is as strong in the e-commerce department. So if you want to have a big shop with lots of different features, then Shopify is what I hear is very good for that. You just might want to have a look and see that it can do what you need it to do. That's not so much an issue for me because I only sell a limited range of things. Most of my online income comes through Teachable, where I have my online classes, which is a separate platform. The other thing that sometimes I find a little bit annoying is limited ability to edit your site so that it looks good on a mobile phone. Now, Squarespace is set up to optimize for mobile phones, so on the whole, it still works pretty well. But what I would love is to be able to customize my site so that I could actually have a slightly different version for mobile and shorten down some of the text and make it a little bit more snappy just for the mobile viewers. But I can't see a way to do that on Squarespace. The tweaks for mobile are very limited. It's basically the same site that you have on your desktop shows up on mobile, and they do some things to make it sure that it looks okay.
But what's wrong with that?
That's fine for most people, but I want to be able to like have little custom tweaks there that I can't figure out how to do. But as I said before, I would stick with Squarespace. Overall, I'm very happy with the platform. So now we're going to head over to your website. And the first thing that I'm going to ask people to do is to check that everything works. From time to time, you get broken links. This happened to me recently, and a few people sent me emails to let me know that something I had on my website wasn't working anymore, which I'm very appreciative of, because I have a lot of things going on at my website now, so it can be hard to keep track of all the links that are happening. So going through your website and checking that the content is up to date and relevant, particularly at the moment where we've got a real change in the landscape. So you may have workshops that have been cancelled, shows that have been cancelled. Your whole business might be looking a bit different, including what you want to showcase. So go through and check that everything is up to date. Have a look at where things are placed as you are doing that. So you might want to just take a little notebook and make a note of anything that looks like it needs an update. So it could be a photo that you'd like something different, or it's a photo that's just not quite working. Perhaps you need a better resolution. It might be an opt-in that's not really converting. And when I say opt-in, what I mean is when you want people to join your email list, you can provide something in exchange for a sign up onto your list. So people give you their email and then you provide them with a PDF, a free video, a discount. This is very common on websites. We've all seen them. You might want to just take a look at what you're doing as far as email signups and whether you want to move things around or update any of the content that you have. As you're doing this, pay attention to what is above the fold. So that's a term that is used for when you go to a website page, what do you see before you have to start scrolling down? And that's called above the fold. So it's what's at the top of each page, because a lot of people don't scroll down or get very far down. So the further down on a page you go, the less eyes you're going to have on it. So it's common sense then to make sure that you have the content that you most want people to engage with at the top of each page. So go through your pages and check what you have at the very top position. So I do this from time to time, and it changes depending on, you know, what classes I have coming out or what free resources I've recently created, and I'll swap in new things and put them right up the top so people see them. One of the ways that Squarespace works is you can create a page which is called an index page, which is like little mini website pages. So if you can imagine a long form website page where you scroll down, there's quite a lot of different elements to it, and that's divided up into sections. And each of those sections is like a little mini website page. And when you click on, I'm not sure what it is, manage your page or something like that, you can actually drag and drop those sections. So it's very quick to rearrange the different parts of your page. So some of my longer form pages, like for example my resources page, if you went over there, so that's laurahornart.com/resources, there's a lot of different elements to that page. But if I ever wanted to, say, move up a PDF, bring it right up to the top, all I've got to do is drag it up and it will come up on the top, and I can move things around very easily. No coding or anything like that, just drag and drop, rearrange, it's very intuitive. Once you've had a look at your pages, the other thing that is always good to scan your eye over is your analytics.
Do you know why I'm laughing?
Yeah.
Scan your eye over.
Why are you laughing at that? Well, Do you think I like obsess over them?
When the light is still on at 3 o'clock in the morning because you're scanning your eye over, your analytics.
Do you know what though? I had my website for years and I didn't even know the analytics was there.
That's true.
So this is a fairly new thing for me. And I'm not actually super geeky with my analytics as much as you may think. Sometimes you'll see a surge in traffic and that could be because you've brought something new out. So for example, we released the free class Abstract Collage Creations in the last month. So we've seen a huge increase in website traffic that's come along with that class. So I just have a look, notice trends, and generally I try and improve my website traffic from month to month, but some of it is seasonal and to do with whatever you are doing at that time. I think there's a few things that are interesting to look at, like where your traffic is coming from. So I've just had a look at my traffic over the last 30 days and 47% of it is direct traffic, which I guess means people are just typing in laurahornart.com, like not even going into Google as such and searching, but they actually know where they're going. So that's interesting. 21% is from Pinterest, 14% is from Google, 10% from Instagram, and 8% is a mystery.
That's all me.
I wonder how much of that direct traffic is just me typing in my email address. But I think it's interesting that 21% is from Pinterest, whereas 10% from Instagram. It doesn't surprise me though, because Pinterest is a platform where you can directly link to your website content. So every time you post something on Pinterest, you can put a web link. So you can put a photo up of your work, link it back to your shop. You can put a video of your online class, link it back to your website. So that in itself is very powerful compared to Instagram, where you only have the link in your bio or the swipe up link on an Instagram story, which you only get if you have 10,000 followers. So you do not have nearly as much capacity to drive traffic to your website through Instagram as you do with Pinterest. So I think Pinterest is often an underutilized resource for artists. I know it certainly generates a lot of traffic for me. I think it's something to explore. By looking at that statistic, so whenever I go in and I see these figures, it always reminds me to post more on Pinterest. Whenever I see that, I go, oh yeah, that's right. A lot of website traffic comes from Pinterest. It's worth posting a few things over there.
Most people only see your Instagram.
Mm.
Yet only 10%. Comes from Instagram. But do you reckon the direct are people who follow you on Instagram and then when they get to their computer,
yeah,
they type in?
I only had that realization the other day. For the last couple of years, I've been thinking, I don't get any website traffic from Instagram. And then I realized that I probably do. Just people go over to the computer and type it in. So yeah, I still think Instagram is very powerful in that sense. And then you can have a look at what device people are using. And 57% of people that access my website are doing it from their mobile phones, which is why I wish Squarespace had a little bit more functionality, because I didn't realize how many people are accessing from their mobile phone. For this part of the conversation, my, I guess, encouragement for people listening is to get out your mobile phone and look your website up and see how it appears on your phone, because there have been many times where I have checked my website and found that it's just not working on mobile. So even though Squarespace does its best, you can end up with images that don't work, text that doesn't flow properly, or things look weirdly spaced, or yeah, you need to check it with your own eyes.
Do you have a workaround?
Look, I just have to change things if they're not working. There's one or two things that I need to change on my website at the moment that I've flagged around the mobile thing.
Could you give us an example?
Hopefully it'll be fixed by the time this podcast comes out. But I did have like a header where a logo was showing, but it wasn't showing the whole logo. So it just looked like the text was cut off.
It's clipping it.
Yeah. So it just looks a bit unprofessional or messy. So headers and things like that can be a bit, you know, get chopped off. Text doesn't look the way it should. What else do I like to look at? form conversions. So forms on Squarespace are where you collect those email addresses. I did a quick count before this episode, and at the moment I have at least 10 spots on my website where you can sign up to my newsletter. So that's every page plus pop-up, announcement bar. I'm using all of those things in order to get people onto my newsletter list, because I'm a fan of websites and I'm also a fan of having an email list. You need to put it in all the different places in order to capture those people that want to hear about what you're up to. And when you're looking at your analytics, you can have a look and see how those forms are performing. So in other words, when you're capturing those email addresses, where are people signing up the most? As I said earlier on in this episode, you can use things like lead magnets. So you can have PDFs and classes. So this is a way of seeing which ones of those are resonating with people and encouraging them to join your email list. But it's not always about the content. Sometimes it's about the placement. Some of those forms are at the top of the page, therefore they're going to get attention. But I also pop them at the bottom of the page too. So it depends on the positioning as well.
Yeah, the only time I ever sign up for something is because I want something.
Yeah, the general sort of consensus with it is these days it's not enough to just ask someone to sign up to your newsletter list. There needs to be some value for them in doing so. So that's where all these resources come in.
I do subscribe to newsletters, like especially sports ones, and I love them. And I specifically went to their website so I could sign up for that.
When I had a look at which forms were performing the best, the one that had the most, I think, at this stage was laurahornart.com/newsletter, which is actually a cover page for the sign up of my newsletter. Now, that one doesn't actually connect with any kind of free resource, but it's the one that I mention the most. We often say it on the podcast. I use it all the time, and it still seems to perform very well. And I let people know to sign up to that list just to stay updated about anything that's coming in the future, like any free resources. So when we were putting together the free class, I would have mentioned that and said, make sure you're on the newsletter list. So that one works well. The other ones that have been performing are the pop-up. So pop-ups seem to work.
Wow.
The second one on the list.
Your pop-ups are strategic though.
I adjust it depending on what I'm doing at the time. So sometimes the pop-up will come up 5 seconds in, 30 seconds in, on a different page, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But they work.
Oh my God.
I know. I resisted putting pop-ups on my website for ages. I had to have someone who I was chatting to say, come on, Laura, you should really put a pop-up on.
And it works.
And it works. The next ones are the PDFs. So I have 2 PDFs that regularly provide new subscribers to my email list. One is called Finding Your Unique Artistic Style. It's a workbook. And the other one is called Building Your Brand as an Artist. And that's also a workbook. And I have a new one, which is where I swatch out my 15 favorite Daniel Smith watercolors. And that's a video. And it's a sneak peek at our upcoming online class, Modern Mixed Media. So I just had a look at those and they're all tracking well. But, you might think about creating one if you don't have one already, or updating one that's not performing well, or changing the position of where it is on the website.
So your pop-ups just don't pop up into the middle of the screen. They come in discreetly from the bottom or the top or...
Well, that's another feature that you can play around with. Squarespace is a little bit limited with pop-ups as to what you can do, but I also use another piece of software called Sumo, which I use to do more strategically placed pop-ups when I want them to slide in, or a different kind of announcement bar, or you want to have a timer on your announcement bar. If you go over to Sumo, which I think is just sumo.com, they have a piece of software that enables you to do a lot more as far as pop-ups.
Okay, so that's a plugin.
Yeah, I think that's the word. I think it was originally designed for WordPress, but you can use it on Squarespace. Moving on from the analytics brings me on to the next thing that was on my list, and I've already mentioned it, which is checking that your site looks good on mobile. And that really is just a reference to, you know, that number that we saw, 57%.
That's nearly 60%.
Yeah, nearly 60% of people are looking at my website. This may be different for everyone, but my website on a mobile phone. This is something that I actually need to do, and I haven't done. Check the loading. Well, I haven't done it recently. Check the loading time of your website and run a speed test.
Yeah, because a lot of websites lag.
And I have a feeling that mine is lagging at the moment due to very large images.
Yes, I think we're putting up
too large an image.
Yes, we need to resize
that. Yeah, and I know that because I've done the speed test a while back and it has told me that it's in a sort of like safe range, but it could be improved by putting up smaller sized images. So that's something that we need to address. So you can do speed tests really easily. If you just Google run a speed test on my website, you just type in your website address and it will give you all this information about how long it's taking to load, and it'll give you some suggestions about what you can do to fix it. And then usually they'll ask you to sign up to their website because they're doing all the things that you do on a website.
Of course.
To get all the information that you need. So that's pretty much what I do as far as running through a quick health check on my website. So I go through, I look at and make sure that everything is up to date. I check that the content that I want is where I want it. So I do a quick scan, see if there's anything I need to update. I go in and have a look at my analytics, which will often give me some ideas. Check it on my mobile phone and then run a speed test.
If you were giving me this advice, I would jump onto my website that I probably haven't looked at in 6 months. I've been paying for it, but I don't really use it. And then I open it and I'm like, okay, where do I start?
Well, I think it can be very overwhelming.
Oh, it can be, yeah.
Depending on where you're at, which is why I would suggest having a notebook with you as you do this to write down some things that you could change or you want to do in the future. And I have a list on my Trello where I do all my organization, and it's just called like website updates. And it's one of those lists that's like, whenever you have the time, do this. And so changing all the images on our website is quite a big job, and that's on the list. I'm not going to do it right now if I'm busy, but I might do that down the track. So you won't be able to necessarily do everything, but you could create a list of ideas and then do it bit by bit. So last week, I was working on the podcasting page, and this was something that I'd identified a while ago that I wanted to do when I did one of these little health checks and looked around. I thought, you know what, I've got all these other pages kind of set up how I want them, but the podcasting page was a very simple blog page without any bells and whistles. And I held on to that thought for a good part of a year because I had other things going on. And then last week, because I don't know what it was. It's just a weird week where we decided to kind of hit pause. And I had a bit of time. I thought, you know what, I'll dive into that page. I've been working on that page with my brilliant website designer friend, Laurie Jacobson. So I just wanted to mention Laurie there because I haven't done all the work myself for this page. But we've been working together, and I came to Laurie and said, these are the kind of things that I would like for my podcasting page. So it was things like having a logo and the title right up the top so people know what the name of the podcast is, updating the images, having better search functionality. So this came about because I've had people contact me and say, how do I find old episodes? I want to be able to search for something like a topic like Instagram and find all the episodes that relate to that. So Laurie has been working behind the scenes with me to provide ways for people to search episodes, so tags and categories and things like that. I also wanted to have a way that people could easily submit ideas for podcast episodes and also nominate themselves or someone they know to be a guest on the podcast. So there were a few things I wanted to add in there, and also have that page be a way of introducing people to other things that I do as well. So being able to say, okay, I have a podcast, but did you know I have classes, I have a resource page, that type of cross-pollination of pages.
Because your website, it's kind of like a cool place to hang out.
Well, I think that's a really good way to think of a website when you're working on it for anyone. to make it a cool place to hang out, because at the end of the day, that's what you want. You want people to come and spend a bit of time and get to know what you do. So if you can make it somewhere where you would make it like cup of tea worthy.
So a good 5 minutes.
Yeah. Like
to navigate.
Not just a 30-second job, but, and there are websites that I go to and I put them in that cup of tea category. Like I'll go, I'm going to go have a look at that. And I'm just going to put a kettle on and make a cup of tea. And I'm going to sit down for 10 minutes or so and have a little, you know, rummage around, find some treasure. And that's what we should be aspiring for with our website. I don't think I answered the question. Your question was, if you were starting out and you were doing this website check, what would you do? So I mentioned writing a list and then chunking it down and making a start. So your homepage is a good place to start because that's where people tend to land first. So you might want to just approach the homepage, or you might want to look at a specific thing. So it could be that you want to get more sign-up opportunities in your website. So instead of focusing on everything, you just look at where can I put those newsletter forms into my website. I tend to chip away like that, just choose something and work on that. And then let it be.
You keep talking about your newsletter. Mm. How often do you release your newsletter?
Generally once a week.
So that's a commitment that if you want people to come to your website and you want it to be a cool place to hang out, you really got to regularly release something.
There's not a lot of point in collecting email addresses if you're not going to contact those people. So, yeah, I think you need to have some kind of commitment, but it doesn't need to be every week. It could be once a month. But I think a good way to think about your website is it working in tandem with your email list. And that's one of the things that is great with Squarespace is that it integrates with email list providers. So I use MailChimp. And so it's very easy for me to get those two things to talk to each other so that people who come to my website, I can then continue that conversation with them on my email list.
Is that why you stick with Squarespace, even though they're not the best platform out there for mobile compatibility, but they're excellent for email compatibility?
Well, that's one of the reasons. And I will say that I think Squarespace is pretty good at the mobile stuff too. I'm just particularly...
Particular.
I mean, I'm not sponsored by Squarespace, but they are a very good website platform.
I'm not sponsored by anyone.
I know, but I just like saying that.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Isn't that what you say? I'm not sponsored, but hey, come on. you know, I haven't used any other website platforms though, so I guess I don't have a lot to compare with. I just know that I'm happy. But just because I use Squarespace doesn't mean that you have to. It's all about creating a website that's going to work for you and your art business. But I hope that you've enjoyed this episode and that it encourages you to think about your website, whether that be creating a new one, updating an existing one, or just, you know, doing a few little tweaks here and there. And speaking of website pages, I'd love it if you would check out our new podcast website page. It's laurahornart.com/podcast. And there you'll be able to see a few of the things that I've been talking about in this episode. Well, I think that's it for this week. We just want to say a big thank you to everyone who shares over on Instagram the podcast episodes. We love hearing about what you're listening to and what you get out of each one. So don't forget to keep sharing those podcast episodes, and we'll be back again next week.